This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. I've got with me here in our studio in Bend, Oregon, I've got Berenice. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
Doing really good. Things going well with the lockdown, everything?
So good.
Good.
So good, yes.
Yes, as good as can be expected.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It was my birthday yesterday, and I got to visit the four corners of my property. It was so exciting.
You know, you got to do what you got to do on your birthday.
I know, right?
Yeah. We also have with us Bobby Hobby. Bobby, yeah. Thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely.
How are you doing in the lockdown?
Yeah, just kingdom perspective for me. It is all about kingdom perspective, and I'm thriving in that. Today is the 20th year anniversary
of our
ministry.
Wow.
So 5-5, double grace, 5-5-2000 is when we started.
Wow. Yeah. That is exciting. Amazing. That's exciting. We also have with us Patty. Patty is leads the intercessor team here at Eagle Mountain.
Hello.
So thanks for joining us. And Patty, I'm going to ask everybody, how are you doing in the lockdown?
Yes, good. Today I went out and I washed the windows outside.
Good
so
for you.
It was one of those amazing things that you get to do when there's nothing else to do.
And the sun is shining, it's not raining.
It's wonderful.
It's so good. Well, today is cool because we get to interview someone that I'm excited to talk to. Which that's true for all of our guests, but it's very cool to talk to this gentleman today. He is the founder of Elijah List, which has almost 300,000 subscribers. That is a lot of subscribers. Yeah. Also, Elijah Streams, which is featured often on God TV. He also has written a book. The name of the book, I wanted to get this right, and I'm actually going to get it. Can't You Talk Louder, God?
Yes.
I mean, that title, I'm like, oh. I need to buy that book. He's also, him and his wife, Doreen, have been married 40 years. They've got 3 kids, 5 grandkids. He's just an amazing person to talk to. Steve Schultz, thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
We're glad to have you.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
And happy 20th anniversary for the ministry.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Now, so
3 years last month as well, so we're pretty close in there.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's incredible. So, Steve, how are you doing in the lockdown?
Doing really good. You know, most people don't know that only about 4 weeks ago, in the middle of the lockdown, my wife was diagnosed with a little 1.1-inch piece of cancer, breast cancer. She's already had the surgery. It's a lumpectomy. She had it Wednesday, if you can believe this. I had to drop her off at the front door of the hospital. And later that day, I had to pick her up at the front door of the hospital. It was considered an outpatient, even though they knock you out. And she got her pathology report yesterday, and it's gone. The stuff is gone. There's nothing in the
liver.
Yes,
Lord.
Praise the Lord. Jesus.
All during the lockdown, you know, it's a strain. You hear about people not getting to go to the hospital. I had to drop her off for surgery. See ya. It was weird.
That must have been so hard.
Yeah.
Very hard.
Wow.
Well, that's so cool that it sounds like things are going well.
Very
and that support. The service was actually available during this time. So that is really cool.
Yes.
So that's good. Well, in the pre-show and kind of beforehand, we were talking about, you know, the topic that we wanted to go after today. And we came up with this things that move the hand of God. And that is just such a very interesting thing for me to even say out loud. Things that move the hand of God. So I'd love to just start by hearing from you, Steve, things that move the hand of God. Like, what are you thinking? What is that when we say that? What are you even referring to?
There's something in my personality that's obviously there from birth that I wanted to know. I still have to know inside secrets. And I don't mean secrets so that I have more truth than anybody else. I mean secrets that I get to share. And normally speaking, the secrets that God shares with me are things hidden in plain sight. They've been there all along. They weren't really hidden at all. They're just there. but the church will kind of get off this way, and we get a little bit off this way. And I began to really deal with this subject. And if I can give you like a three, I have a 2-hour whole presentation into this kind of a subject, and then a whole lot of stuff just this week. But this 2-hour presentation, I'll recap in about 2.5 minutes here. And that was, I was bedridden for about, mostly for 7 years, but of that 4 years, I was completely bedridden, completely looked like a Holocaust survivor, less than 100 pounds. I couldn't eat. This was about 2005, 2006, and it ended in 2012. And I spent, especially those 4 years when I didn't get out of bed hardly at all, the Elijah List readers never knew this because we didn't tell them. And I prayed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours because I didn't sleep at night. I didn't sleep during the day. I couldn't sleep because, I don't know, I couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. They didn't know what was wrong. And I just figured that I remember getting excited because I thought, well, I'll just pray myself into wholeness. Well, after about 4 years, I not only had I prayed every prayer, I had confessed every sin hundreds of times, every motive for every sin, every possible motive about the wrong motive, about having the wrong motive. I mean, I went through it in every possible angle trying to move the hand of God because I figured there must be something wrong or I wouldn't be sick. What I didn't realize until later was that I was essentially accusing God of putting this on me and that he was allowing this torture until I would say just the right confessing prayer. Wow. And one day out of nowhere, this anger came on me, which I now know to be from the Lord. It was Holy Spirit inspired. And it was at night. I was back in this. We have a little old farmhouse. It's a big farmhouse, 3,000 square feet. So I'm in way in the back. My wife doesn't hear me. I'm on my back in a dark room. And I stuck my finger in the face of God. And I said, "You're not doing your job." I was just angry. What I didn't realize is, God was showing me what he wanted to hear from me. And I've learned to, I could unpack this for 2 hours, but the bottom line is God wanted me to confront him with the promises in the Word of God. And I said, "You said you'd prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And I said, "It wouldn't matter to me if you did prepare this table because I couldn't eat it. I'm nauseated 24/7, 365. Yeah. And then I shouted again, "You're not doing your job," as loud as I could. It was just, it was true from the gut anger. And like I said, I was wasting away because I couldn't eat. They didn't know why. Well, just to keep from dying, I said, "Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours." You know, I just didn't want to be zapped right there. And I woke up the next morning for the first time hungry in years. And I spent the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, including the last couple of years, just unpacking, why did you respond to that? It was disrespectful. It was angry. And the Lord began to unfold little bits here and there. You know, he says, "I desire truth in the inmost parts." And the bottom line is, you were angry at me the whole time because you thought I did this to you. And I said, "Well, I guess so, Lord. I didn't know." So as I've unpacked these things, I began to realize there are things, you know, we talk about God's a personal God, have you received him as your personal savior? Well, if he's personal, that means he has a personality, which means there's things he likes, there's things he doesn't like, there's things he responds to, like any other person has a relationship. What is our God like? What does he respond to? What is he really, what makes his day? And he makes his day people reminding him of his promises. There's even a scripture in the King James that says, "Command ye me concerning my promises." I don't have it exactly memorized, but the three words are "command ye me." Well, I'm not teaching anyone to command God to do anything, but I am saying God likes it when we get in his face and the things. And so this then translates into what I was going to share today as far as what moves the hand of God and what doesn't. So I'm a member of a round table. I've been to your round table, Bobby, and I've been one in ACPE called ACPE out of Texas. And we were just this last week, people were going back trying to figure out how do we get past this coronavirus and what do we do in this lockdown and how do we respond to what God's trying to tell us. And I love millennials, but if I hear one more of them say the problem with us is we haven't repented, I'm going to scream. And I'm thinking, where have you been during this generation?
Right.
I was in the Million Men March. I was in the Million Youth March. On both of these were calls on the Washington, the National Mall. I was in the 777 Stadium. I didn't make it to the Azusa Street Stadium because I was actually on a cruise. I've done racial reconciliation. I've done Native American reconciliation. And I've done them all, and I've been to them all, and I've been to multiple ACPE roundtables where we spent most of the time repenting for every possible thing we could repent of. And they would use that scripture. It's got to be one of God's favorite scriptures, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people were called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and I'll come and I'll heal their land. And so that's what we've been doing. And I finally expressed this frustration out loud, not in an angry way, but just said, you know, I've done it all. I said, there's something we're missing, and it's probably not repentance, because we've repented. Now, not only have we only repented personally, but we've repented as a church. You know, God only needed 10 in order to not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he only needed the 7,000 in Israel that he had reserved for himself so that he didn't have to wipe out Israel. Then how many thousands have I seen spend days, you know, in stadiums and traveling too? And God began to speak to me this last week, and he started saying, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And I thought, well, wait a minute, where's that? I know it's in the Old Testament. It's got to be at least in the Psalms. And I started looking it up. It turns out in the same passage we're talking about, Solomon has finally built this gorgeous temple. He's dedicating and he's led sacrifices. And at the very end of 7 days of sacrifices and the things that happened, he sends the people home. The 7 days are over. And I'm going to backtrack in a minute to what happened during those 7 days. But at the end of 7 days, after it was all over, God appears to Solomon at night, in the middle of the night, and says, hey, basically he said, good job, now listen to this. If I ever send a flood or a famine or a thing in or whatever, and if my people who are called by my name will come to this place and pray from this place, he's talking about that temple, and humble themselves, I'll hear their prayer and I'll heal their land. So I'm not here to say we shouldn't be repenting. Of course we should. And I'm not saying one of those events was wasted, because I'm sure it was not wasted. But I looked there in 2 Chronicles 5, and where Solomon's gotten the main sacrifices out of the way, and he brings 120 priests. And where do we think of 120, if not the upper room before Pentecost?
Yeah.
When the glory fell? And he gets 120 priests together. They've dedicated them. They've separated themselves. They consecrated themselves. And then the music played and the trumpets blasted. And they said, the Lord is good and his love endures forever. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple so that the priests could no longer stand there. And they had to leave. They could not do the ministry. And then we see from there that Solomon then preaches an amazing, amazing sermon for all of chapter 6, 2 Chronicles 6. And then chapter 7, we see it again. It's the same 7-day period. It's hard to know exactly where they fall, if it was the same day or another day of this. These same 120 priests say again, and they sing again, the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. And the glory filled the temple again, and they had to leave the temple. That's what happened during that week. And they all went home from that week with that success. That had been a wonderful time with the glory of the Lord. After they went home, God appears to Solomon and says, this was basically well done. Now look at this. If I ever send a flood or a famine after this, if I have to judge, if my people who are called by my name will come to this place and pray from this place, I'll hear their prayers. It put an entirely different spin, and it puts when we think of the 120 priests, what happened in the upper room? The 120 were waiting there till Pentecost. That's the season we're in right now.
Yeah.
We're between Passover and Pentecost. We're 120. We're waiting. They consecrated themselves. They waited. They spoke of the goodness of the Lord. And then one day, on the 50th day, which is where Pentecost comes, on the 50th day from Passover, the Spirit falls as they're waiting. And then they speak, the glory of the Lord falls so hard that people think they're drunk. You know, and then this is where 3,000 were suddenly added to the church in a day after Peter preaches the greatest sermon. And so God's been speaking to me about, it's not that we've done anything wrong, but we've got things in reverse order. We picked that one scripture and said, if we will just repent enough for enough sins, for enough slavery, for enough abortions, for enough Native Americans, for enough, you can go for days thinking of people that we have slighted or things. And, but we have forgotten, I believe, and I love the worship that the body of Christ has, and we kind of compartmentalize it. We let the worship team go, and if it's good, it'll go longer. It might even do the whole service. And then the speaker will get up. I just feel like there's a slight mismatch of, if not a major one, based on the way I'm telling you this story, where God is saying, where are the elders and the people who have consecrated themselves saying, the Lord is good? In other words, instead of saying the Lord is good, we're saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so, so, so sorry about these. And I just keep listing like I did for 4 years. And did that move the hand of God? In my view, not so much. Now, don't get me wrong, I think the hand of God is being moved, or we wouldn't even be having this conversation. And I'm not saying anybody has done anything wrong, please. I don't ever want to be misquoted. I think Lou Engle's done an amazing job of calling those calls together, but I believe that we've gotten just a little bit out of kilter on that. So here's how I begin to apply this even in my personal life. Even after everything that I've learned, when I get warfare, we all often get warfare in the middle of the night, don't we? We'll get where we're trying to have a nice sleep, we get hit with depression or something. And I have, because I've gotten a fierceness that's come over me during this season, I think, well, since I can confront God, I can confront the devil. And I will then go into sometimes a two or three hour battle in the middle of the night to get this oppression to leave the room. And I'll go and go, and now my wife will, at the end of the morning, I'll say, man, it was a tough night. I've been fighting for 3 hours, but I just got victory. So including as early as today, tonight, this morning, while it was still dark, I woke up and some oppressions trying to get on me. So being one who likes to learn what moves the hand of God, I said, you know what, Lord, you're so good. And your love endures forever. And your glory falls. And you're just so good. You're kind and you're loving. Well, that took a whole 5 minutes and the oppression was gone. It didn't take 3 hours of fighting the devil. It took 5 minutes of telling the Lord how good he is.
Yeah.
Now that'll so preach, good. Right?
Come on.
Come on.
That'll tell us something where at least it gives us tools. So, I mean, that's one of my main handles. I've got a couple of other areas I want to hit today, but maybe you want to ask a question about that before I go to that other area.
Yeah. I'd love to unpack. I mean, there was so much richness in what you said. It's incredible. I really like the way that you're kind of unfolding this for us. But I'd love to just take a high level view real quick, maybe hear from you guys too. So I think to a lot of people that might be listening to this, you say, hey, what are the things that move the hand of God? They're like, yeah, what are they? Mm-hmm. And I think some people are going to hear that and they're going to go, I don't know. I want to move the hand of God. I'm not sure that that's something is that a good thing? So I'd love to hear, just before we kind of unpack some of the richness of that, like, what do we mean when we say move the hand of God? And is that even a good thing to do? I think I'd love to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, I remember Mike Bickle saying it this way in regards to prayer. Mike Bickle is the founder of International House of Prayer Kansas City, ministry all over the world, and a lot of the prayer movement was started by some of the revelations that he got from the Lord. And I remember the Lord teaching him a similar thing that he taught Steve Schultz, and that is he was praying and he was asking for breakthrough. And the Lord was saying, how does it look to you now? How does the world look to you now? Do you even need to start a prayer movement? Why? You know, why? And so it's really easy to think about intimacy, and that's a great place to start. Well, it's because we love you, Lord, and we want you and all of that. And the Lord's like, okay, go on. And then he begins to pray, and then out of his belly, so to speak, out of his innermost being, mm-hmm. came this, because your word says.
Come on.
And then right when he went into that, the Lord said, now refuse to be denied. You are a son. And that's what caused this sort of the violent take it by force attitude that the New Testament talks about. The kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That's where it went into. On certain days of the week, we just stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's a part of Christianity. But yeah. then on other days of the week, the Lord says, now use that scepter that I gave you. Why does the Old Testament have both? Don't fight. This battle belongs to the Lord. And then fight for everything that's in you. And so just really hearing the Holy Spirit. And Steve's learned to do that. That's one of the things that I love about him and his balance to the Word of God. Yes. How do we swing the sword? It's actually called, the Bible's called a sword for a reason.
Right.
So good. I think that's so revolutionary what you're saying, because I think most people, I would agree that most people, when these things happen in our life, and you know firsthand, just being bedridden for years, and the tension between yelling at God and praising him at the same time, and it's just so revolutionary for you to say that God is good, and we spend so much time repenting and saying, I'm sorry, and how many times do I have to say it, and how many ways do I have to pray it before you'll touch me, God? But the answer is God is good all the time. So good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's great.
So good. I have heard people talk before about, you know, well, as Christians, we must be very careful not to let our feelings take over. We can't be led by our feelings, you know. And I do agree with that to a large degree. But I feel like, there I said it, I feel like.
Yes.
The Lord wants our feelings on the matter, because when yes. our feelings are involved in partnership with his word, that's when we get serious
right.
with whatever yeah. it is that's facing us.
Right.
That's when I'm prepared to pick up whatever needs to be picked up to move this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
And I think as Christians, I know there was a time in my life where I was just, you know, timid, meek and mild, sweet little Christian. Hallelujah, Jesus, you've got all the power. And he's like, come on, girl, right. pick up your sword. Come on, it's time for you to start living what I've called you to do. And so that, I feel like, thanks again. That's such a great reminder. I feel like I've been lazy.
Yeah.
You just walloped me in the right direction, so thanks for that.
I think a lot of what Steve's saying right now is really the key, or a key,
yeah.
to ushering us out of an orphan spirit. We've been talking about that now for years, the last several years, of course, coming out of that orphan spirit. And you can't come out of an orphan spirit if you don't believe that there's a God of breakthrough for you.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that a supernatural God is willing to break through on your behalf, then you will stay an orphan. But if you cross over and you begin to believe, not only is he wanting or able, but willing. Lord, if you're willing, you can make right. me clean. He said, I am willing. So this is that hour. What Steve's talking about is key to healing the orphan spirit.
Even now, right here, I feel like there's hope to be plucked out of the air. If you're listening, there's this hope that is for you. Mm-hmm. And I say in Jesus' name, reach out, open your heart and say, okay, God, I'm going to feel this, and I'm going to put your word in with this feeling, and we're going to partner, and you're going to show me how to overcome. So I just speak that hope to be cracked over you like an egg in Jesus' name, just to fall and just completely envelop you. Father, release your hope to those who hear in Jesus' name.
Yeah, that's so good. Thanks, Bernique.
Yeah.
So Steve, one of the things I think that you tapped into that I really liked how you said it is that I think, correct me though, we kind of walk down this path that creates a sense of fear that if we're a little too flippant or a little too casual with God, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. And so you are very careful to say, hey, God is not afraid of us. He's not too small. He can handle our frustration. And what he actually wants most from us is relationship. And in relationship, it's okay for us to express that. But you are also very careful to say, hey, I'm not saying don't honor and respect the Lord. He's the creator of the universe. But if you don't have a balance and you just say, you know what, I'm not sure how to make that balance, so I'm just going to throw that aside and go safe. And safe being defined as I'm just going to be afraid and cower and ask, you know, beg. Then you miss the richness of the actual relationship.
You'd be hard-pressed to find anywhere in the scriptures where somebody confronted God with their anger and he said, now you've offended me. Now you're going to get it. It's not there. Job answers him out of the whirlwind and God says, well, where were you when I did this? You know, come on, state your case. And so they go back and forth a little bit. You know, God knew he could handle Job and Job knew God could handle his stuff, you know? And I am convinced through all of this, even the first part I talked about, the personal confronting of God. Let me just add this one other story, because I got well, I got my weight back, got too much weight back, went to Canada, and I started doing conferences again. So it's 2013. And I, at this conference in the eastern part of Canada, so now we're way on the eastern, and we're in Canada, and we live in Portland area, so we're on the other side, or in the west, you know. So Doreen got one of those horrible migraines she gets, and we both worked on ours, and we both made a lot of progress, but that's still one of those lifetime attempts to get in migraines. And so she got one of those, and it was during the conference up there in Hamilton, I think it was Hamilton, and it was a great conference, and she got one of those, and we started those people praying, we called our intercessors, We emailed our list and we intercessors, please pray for Doreen's migraine, and nothing touched it. The next morning on the way to the airport, nothing touched it. And on the flight, all the way back for a full day of travel, into Michigan, then Michigan to Portland, then Portland for another 2-hour drive, the migraine all overnight, nothing touched it. Prayers, prayers, prayers. And I had told this whole story of confronting God, and not being afraid of God. But I, you know, I'd done my one time thing that I was ever going to do. I was never going to have to confront God. We'd already done that. We now knew each other. We're friends, right? So we wake up the next morning. A full 48 hours have gone by now. This thing is still a horrible migraine. Oh. Green has to leave to go pick up the doggy at doggy daycare. And I had an appointment and I was rushing around to get. And Green had left, was gone for about an hour. And I said, I don't understand, Lord. Surely you're not going to ask me to get angry at you. I don't want to get your God. You know, it's not my thing to teach people to get angry at God. And I said, surely after telling that story, you're not going to require me to get so real that I had to get angry at you. And it just silenced. The heavens were brass. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I said out loud, fine. And then I didn't yell, but I said, I know right where we're standing in the master bathroom, getting ready, I said, I would never treat my daughter the way you're treating your daughter right now. You have, as God of the whole creator of the universe, you could look at her with one blink of an eye and that migraine would be gone. And yet you're not doing it. You're hearing all of the intercessors pray and you're hearing all of our cries for help and you're not responding at all. And then I was probably with a little more frustration. I said again, a second time, I would never, ever treat my daughter the way you're treating your daughter right now. And a second later, Doreen walks in the house and I said, how's your migraine? She goes, I don't know. It just popped out of my head just before I walked in the door.
Oh, my goodness.
Explain that to me theologically. Right. It's kind of hard. Yeah. It's kind of hard to say point to chapter and verse. But but I'm telling you, find me somebody that got angry at God and God said, this offends me.
Right. That's so good.
So it's not like I'm teaching people to be angry. And then there happened to be a third one, which is 5 years ago. And that was the last time. And it was so in his face that I won't even tell the story. It's just too much. But now for 3 times that I'm saying, Lord, please, let's not have to go. I don't see that as something to be taught, but I am telling you it's something to be caught in some way. that God is not, God can handle this.
Yeah. So I feel like, I'm curious if this is true. Hearing the two stories, I kind of, it makes me feel like what you're saying is, you kind of get to this point where you're almost faking it with God, because in your heart, you're thinking, I would never treat my daughter that way. And obviously God knows that, that that's what's in your heart. And so by you saying, you know what, I'm just going to tell you what's really on my heart, even though I know the right answer. And I think that's what I'm hearing in the stories, is the right answer is not actually the right answer. The right answer is what's in your heart, because God wants to hear what's in your heart, and he can handle it. He's tough.
Desires truth in the inmost parts. And the thing is, you are going to be contradicting yourselves. I'm going to be contradicting myself all over myself today, because I'm saying on the one hand, you get angry at God, and that's what he responded to. And Bobby, you addressed this, and you both did. And the next minute I'm saying that where we should be going is the Lord is good and his love endures forever.
Right.
So
right.
What is spirit born? It has to be spirit born. What is the spirit wanting to pull through you right now?
Mm. Yeah.
So, and let me just throw one more in, if that's okay. I'll throw one more in.
Please. Towards
the heart level. I'm looking at the time here. So we know that forgiveness moves the hand of God either way. If you don't forgive, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. It says, whoa, that's not moving the hand of God in the right way. I need him to forgive me. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And so I've taken that scripture extremely seriously all my life, especially the last 25 years. I don't carry unforgiveness intentionally anyway. And at the same time, I want to throw in here that our social media that some of you heard about, Zapit, has just been giving us fits. We just can't break through. It's just like this hard, one thing fixed and the other thing gets broken. So I'm just throwing that out there because it enters into the story. So I'm going to be very vulnerable with those watching today in conversation. I'm telling you that my mother's 86 years old. She doesn't use the internet anymore. She tries when her iPad is working. She lives on the East Coast almost in Ohio. And for four decades, she has watched me raise my children to love the Lord, and Drea and I love the Lord. And last week she reaffirmed once again that she believes we are lost, going to hell lost. And I have consoled myself with the fact that I don't have unforgiveness for her, that it's frustration I'll say to myself, or I'm hurt that she would do that, but I don't have unforgiveness, or so I've told myself, until this weekend. And this weekend, God began to show me that it was absolute, flat-out unforgiveness in my heart. And I didn't realize it, but so then I began to do this. Okay, if Steve learns that you're supposed to forgive, that's one thing he's good at, obeying, just make it clear. And you know what? I couldn't get there. I tried, and I believe in saying it even when you don't mean it to start, you know, and I couldn't reach forgiveness because I kept feeling the hurt of her saying, you're lost. And her thing is, she was raised Seventh-day Adventist, as we all were, so she believes because I don't keep that Sabbath, I'm lost. That's just the way they believe, especially the old-timers ones, the newer ones maybe not quite as much. So I began to deal with that this weekend, 2 days ago. And I was telling, and then the Lord began to speak to me. And this one is, again, I'm talking about being spirit-born. And I'm saying, Lord, I can't get there. I know it's absolutely required. I don't get out. There's no technicality. When the Lord makes it clear, you don't get out of that responsibility. And he said to me, and this is just, he goes, what if I told you that I will break through for you on your social media Zapit that you're building if you would forgive your mother from your heart? And I took about 5 seconds, said, let me check my calendar. Yes. And instantly I forgave my mother, not just forgave her. I forgave her from my heart. It was that easy to forgive her from my heart because he offered me the carrot, if you will, because throughout the word of God, especially in the New Testament, there's rewards and rewards and rewards. And I was raised in a household that said, if you think about the reward, you won't get it. Which is not correct, because Jesus kept throwing out the reward. What reward is it for you if you love those who love you? even the pagans are like that. What reward do you get if you give your money so everybody can see you give your money? You know, that you've received your reward in the full. Here comes the Lord in the clouds of glory, and his reward is with him. If you leave your mother and father, sister and brother for the sake of the gospel, you receive a hundredfold in this lifetime. So we're supposed to think of the reward. So he throws out, this is the spirit-born moment, where he throws out a reward to me that he knew I was not going to turn that down. It was too important. And I have never had an experience like that. And it happened, again, 2 days ago. And what do you know, Monday morning, yesterday morning, there was a major breakthrough on the way. It's too much to go into, but only time will tell for sure how the Lord breaks forth. It's like these are spirit-born moments, and you say, well, what do you want from me right now? And can you imagine if the whole body of Christ was walking around having spirit-born moments? You know, these are pretty far apart that I'm telling you about, but what if we all had those all the time? Yeah. And we train people. Tell them about a spirit-born moment you had in the last 24 hours. It'd probably be pretty good teaching to teach people to have spirit-born moments and listen to the Lord. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's good. I love hearing how you're making this practical. I mean, as we talk about things that move the hand of God, I mean, obviously, what I think we're really getting at is engaging in a relationship with the Holy Spirit in a way where we can actually have a relationship.
Yeah.
And that takes an investment. Well, we know God is invested in us.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need more investment in us. Mm. He's waiting for us to invest in him. And I hear that throughout kind of what you're saying there, Steve. And I'd love to spend a minute or two hearing from you guys, like, have you seen, so the way that he's talking about this, what have you guys seen, especially now the last 6 or 8 weeks as we had this kind of bizarre global situation, you know, it kind of gives us an opportunity to step back. And sometimes a lot of these things then rise to the surface and become a little more obvious. What are you guys seeing?
Yeah. I'll go first. I was just thinking about your vulnerability and how in our relationship with God as believers, sometimes we don't think it's okay to just say what's on our mind and our heart.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of time that gives us all of this space in our head to keep making things up. When if we would actually just say, I'm really mad at you for this, God, then he would say, okay, well, what are we going to do about that? And so I love that time after time you were honest and vulnerable with the Lord. And then he said, okay. Because he's a good father and he gives good gifts to his children. And the more he's waiting, that's the thing that I feel like I've learned over these last few weeks of just being sequestered with the Lord. The more honest I am with him verbally, not just in my head, because yes, he knows what I'm thinking at all times. But when I speak it into the atmosphere, it's I don't have to be afraid that it's food for the devil. I get to be empowered that the Lord is like, okay,
right,
it's out
right,
there. Let's right, deal with it.
Right.
That's so good.
I think that's part of this global reset right now. And I think that Isaiah 35 is a huge part of this global reset. And that is, again, just coming through clean, coming through this season with no baggage from the past. It's a spiritual reset too. We get to offload a bunch of this stuff that's been sort of weights on our shoulders. We get to throw every weight aside that so easily besets us. And one of those weights is unforgiveness. Here's how it works. Healed people heal people. And I think that if we can get through some of this, we'll see the greatest revival of healing even more than we saw in the 50s, because that's the result or the tangibility of healed people. And now's the time where families are coming close. Yeah. Dad and mom are at home with kids. It's time to have those conversations. It's time to get real, not just in our relationship with the Lord, but in our relationship with each other. It's time for me to say the things that I didn't know I could say and just be honest and real and forget how I look or if I win. The point of forgiveness is forgiveness. I stamp paid in full on that interpersonal debt, regardless of if you're going to do all the things that you need to pay me back. I'm going to say no, paid in full right now, because that's what happened to me on the cross.
Love that. Veronique, what were you thinking to say?
You know, I, bringing it back, like bringing it down to relationship with me, oftentimes in my world, when I really have a problem that there is no way I, in my power, or any human in their power can fix, it's only up to God to do, right? Those are the moments where I feel I get silent with him, because I feel like, who am I to tell him how to fix my problem?
Feels almost disrespectful, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I know that he's got it, right? I'm just processing this out, being real right now, okay?
Good.
So like there's this massive problem only God can fix. And then it's in that moment where he becomes this big God on the throne, far up in the heavens, the creator of all. And I feel like what this is about is, in that moment, me getting all real is actually bringing that untouchable God down here and saying, okay, I can't do this by myself. And I don't know why you've been up there all this time. You've been so far away. I need you here. You know, kind of maybe cracking it open in my world, in my heart, saying, God, yes.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one thought that might tie this together. The question was, how can I be that real with the Lord and even show forth anger,
yeah,
but in the same conversation say, I worship you, that's key. And I think here's something that will tie it together. Out of the 150 Psalms, 48 of them are complaints.
Wow.
This is David getting real. That's the worship. That's the apex of worship.
The guy after
and
God's
here's
heart,
how it
yeah.
works, is I don't think you can have true worship without honesty.
Yeah. God knows. So if you're not telling him, you're only fooling yourself.
Absolutely. Right? That means honesty
is
worship.
Right?
Yeah. That's
how you're only fooling yourself.
Yeah. That's how he interprets our worship, is honesty.
Yeah.
And say that again, Chris.
Which part?
You're only fooling yourself.
Oh, yeah. You're only fooling yourself. God knows. He knows what your heart is.
Yeah.
So if we come to him with this pretend perfect, attitude.
Yeah.
Then he's kind of like, I mean, I don't know that he's up there snickering at us, but he knows. He knows that's not the truth. And what he wants is relationship. And the only way to have relationship is to be truthful. It doesn't mean that you purposely are disrespectful. In fact, the only way you can have that true honor, I think, is through the act of really having that real relationship all the way down to the raw truth. Mm-hmm. And unlike people who you might be able to fake out, you can't fake God out. And so it's that much more offensive to not tell the truth. And I think that's the irony of it, is we think we're being offensive. And actually, what I hear in your stories too, Steve, is that it's actually more offensive to hold back the truth, because he can take it. And
well, it's not only that he can take it, it's that he desires it.
Come on.
I desire truth in the inmost parts. It makes his day. How do you want to make the Lord's day? Tell him exactly what you're thinking, not what you want him to think you're thinking, when he knows you're already thinking the other thing that you're thinking.
Exactly.
You know,
Exactly.
Yeah. So Steve, as we wrap this up, I want to do two things. I want to have just a minute or two for us to pray for you. But before we do that, I'd love to hear from you just a short snippet to the people. There's people all over the world that are listening to this in all different walks of life, and they hear us talking about, you know, doing things that move the hand of God. And to some, that's going to seem really scary and inappropriate. And to others, they may be thinking, you know, I hear what you're saying, and that's cool, but I'm not sure I could actually be truthful with God, because if I told him the truth, he would just fry me right where I stand. And I'd love to just hear from you. What do you say in a couple of sentences to the person that feels like, I don't know about this honesty thing? They maybe even have been taught to not be honest. So your thoughts on that as we kind of wrap this up.
You know, I have to chuckle because there's this picture popping into my head of the old Alka-Seltzer commercials from the 80s. And it goes, try it, you'll like it. So I tried it. I thought it was going to die. You know, remember that one? So it's like I'm hearing this pop into my head, talk about a moment of the Spirit that I believe the Lord's saying right now, try it. You'll like it, because you'll find out you're not going to die. You'll find out that the Creator won't smoke you. He'll probably say, thank you. I've been waiting for 15 years for you to be honest with me just once. Let's sit down and reason together. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. But that's not reasonable, Lord. Then let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. That's not reasonable. Let's reason. Yeah, the Lord's going to keep repeating himself until we get it that he's a good God all the time. He can take our honesty. He prefers our honesty. He desires truth. And since he already knows it, then what is he really saying? He's saying he desires you to speak the truth. Since he already knows it anyway, then why would he bother to put that scripture in there unless he means, I desire for you to speak the truth in your inmost parts. And so he wants to reason together. He wants us to remind, there's a scripture that says, remind me of his promises. Sorry, I don't have that reference right off the top of my head. But we are told, and then if nothing else works, then how about Peter confronting God in the flesh, Jesus, and says, you will never go to the cross. And Jesus turns around and says, get you behind me, Satan. You have your desires set on things, you know. And then he warns Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And Peter does it anyway. And at the resurrection, the angel says, go tell the disciples and Peter that the Lord is risen. That's just like this grace, God saying, I love you so much.
Yeah.
That you're going to be among the heads. Some people say James was the head, Peter, you know, there's Peter, James, and John, and Paul. That's basically the guts of the top four, you know, and they all screwed up. John wanted to sit on the right hand or the left hand. Or he wanted to be right there. He called himself the disciple that Jesus loves. In other words, I'm the one that Jesus loves. And instead of Jesus rebuking him, you know, he loves you. He was the one that says, take care of my mom for, you know, at the cross. John, your mother. So anyway, God loves honesty, transparency. I would just say, just try it. You'll like it. It's scriptural.
Come on.
Steve, that is such a powerful, powerful reminder. I think that is applicable to every single person, no matter where you are in your walk, or even if you don't have a relationship right now with God. I think it's such a powerful reminder. Steve, you are a person of influence. You've got Elijah List. You've got the streams. You've got the Zap It social media platform, the book, all the stuff that you're doing. Would you let us pray for you for a minute and all the ministries and all of the people you touch globally?
Yes, Lord.
Yeah, Patty, could you go ahead and pray for us?
Yeah. So, Father, we just thank you so much for this day and for this time together, God. We thank you for Steve and Doreen and the way that you love them and called them according to your purpose, God. We thank you for everything they put their hand to, God, that it would prosper and be well, God. We thank you, Lord, specifically for the Elijah List, Lord, for the prophets that are around the world, God, that find this platform called the Elijah List where they can release the word of the Lord in this hour and this season. And God, we pray that it would be fruitful and multiply, God. We pray that the message would go out all over the globe, God. We pray that it would be advanced even more than it is now, Father. We pray your abundant blessing, God. Everything that they need, God, we ask that it would be upon them now in Jesus' name.
So much. So, Steve, we've got, we're going to link to all of the resources that you've got, the platforms, Elijah List, everything in the show notes. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, definitely check out the show notes. And find it there. But where is the easiest place for people to find you if they're interested to learn more about all of the things that you've got going on?
I guess the main place where you find it all is ElijahList.com. Elijah with a J, ElijahList.com. And from there, though, you'll actually see ads for the Zap. If you want to see that, you'll see ads for the Elijah streams, and then you'll see the prophetic words, and you'll even see breaking Christian news that we also do there. So those are all that you can find it from that one portal.
Awesome. So definitely take the time to go there. They have incredible amount of resources, and you can sign up for the Elijah List and get a lot of updates from a lot of powerful powerful speakers and on all kinds of different topics. So definitely do that. All the links should be there in the show notes. If you have not subscribed to the podcast, definitely do that. If you're watching this on YouTube, go over to the podcast and subscribe to it. And while you're there, go over to the Elijah List and sign up for that as well. Steve, thank you so much for spending time with us today. This has been really powerful. It's been really great to talk to you. Appreciate it. And we look forward to future conversations with you as well.
Thanks for having me. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. We love you.
Bless you.